Brothers and sisters, would you turn in your Bibles, please, to Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13. And we'll begin our reading of verse 17. If you are able, when you're ready, please stand for the reading of God's word. Exodus chapter 13, beginning at verse 17. Hear now the very words of God. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, "Lest the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt." But God led the people around by the way of the wilderness toward the Red Sea. And the people of Israel went up out of the land of Egypt, equipped for battle. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for Joseph had made the sons of Israel solemnly swear, saying, "God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones with you from here." And they moved on from Succoth and encamped at Etham on the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night did not depart from before the people. And then would you turn in your Bibles, please, to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. John chapter 8, beginning our reading at verse 12. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So the Pharisees said to him, "You're bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true." Jesus answered, "Even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from or where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for it's not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. Your law, it is written that the testimony of two people is true. I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me." He said to him, therefore, "Where is your Father?" Jesus answered, "You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also." These words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple. But no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come. Amen. To the reading of God's word, let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we come to you now this morning as poor and needy sinners. And we pray, O Lord, that you would speak to each and every one of us this day. That the power of your Holy Spirit would be evident. That you would speak into our hearts. That you would speak into our lives. That you would lift up our eyes heavenwards to see Jesus Christ. So now, Lord, we ask, remove every distraction. Remove Satan, who would come and snatch your word away, but Lord, cause us to receive it in faith and lay it up in our hearts. For the glory of your great name, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Lost and blind, a lost and blind wretch. That is how the 18th century Englishman John Newton described himself in his hymn Amazing Grace, lost and blind. This morning we're going to be talking about darkness. And I think if you're looking for a description of someone who lived in darkness, then John Newton is a pretty good example. John Newton was a sailor. He was such a rebellious man, an obstreperous man, such a man that the crews that he served with despised him. John Newton was a dishonorable man. In fact, he joined the Navy, but later ran away from the Navy. And he was caught, and he was flogged, and he was returned to his ship. And there, John Newton schemed as to how he was going to murder the captain. As if it was the captain's fault that he ran away. In fact, John Newton said that the captain was a perfectly reasonable, decent man, a man that if he was not so wayward, that he would have been friends with this captain. John Newton was not a good man. His ambition in life was twofold, he says. One was simply to promote himself, and the second was he took pleasure, he took enjoyment in dragging other people down. He wanted to bring people down to his depths of depravity. Brothers and sisters, John Newton was a blaspheming, hateful slave driver who didn't care about living without God, who didn't care about dying without God. In fact, he said he took delight in rebelling against God. He was spiritually hardened. He was godless. In his words, he was lost and blind. He truly lived in darkness. Last week, we asked the question, what is it for a person to be in darkness? And we said that the person in darkness is the person that is alienated from and has enmity towards God. It's the person who has no peace with God. It's the person who does not know communion with God. It is the person who is a rebel against God. John Newton. God said, let there be light. John Newton said, let there be darkness. And as you read his autobiography, and by the way, I encourage you to read it. It's called Out of the Depths. As you read John Newton's autobiography, you see someone in the bondage and the misery of his own carnality and corruption. But then we come to our verses in chapter 8. And look at verse 12. Look how Jesus begins. And Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And as we said last week, he's not speaking to some amorphous blob of people. He's not speaking to some generic group of people. He is speaking to individuals. He's speaking to this adulterous woman that we found in verses 1 to 11. He's speaking, yes, to the John Newtons of the world. He is speaking to me. He is speaking to you when he says, I am the light of the world. And this is not, as we noted last week, this is not some random declaration that Jesus makes here. Remember how Israel walked in the wilderness and they were hungry and God provided food for them, manna from heaven. And then we come to John chapter 6 and Jesus has Israel before him and he feeds 5,000 plus people and says to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. And then Israel in the wilderness, they were thirsty. And God gave them water from the rock. And then we go into John chapter 7. And Jesus says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And then Israel in the wilderness, they needed a light. They needed a light to guide them, and God provided for them a pillar of fire by night, as we read in Exodus. And here in John chapter 8, Jesus says to them, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me shall not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And I think he says this on the last day of the Feast of the Tabernacles, or the Feast of Booths, when there would have been these four massive candle stands, each with four candles lighting up this part of the temple. And in this dramatic scene, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Now, as we think about Jesus being the light this morning, I want us to think about the two functions of the light. The first is the light was there to lead the people of God from Egypt to the promised land. Now, we understand that Egypt isn't just some geographical location in North Africa. We understand that Egypt represented more than that. That Egypt represented bondage, misery, death. And we understand that when we talk about the promised land, we're not just talking about some strip of land east of the Mediterranean. We understand that this promised land is symbolic of heaven itself. And so this light led the people of God from the bondage of Egypt to the freedom and the blessing of the promised land. And we understand what these things represent. And we also understand that if the people of God did not follow the light, that they would remain in the darkness, that they would die in the wilderness. They needed to follow the light in order to go into the promised land. You know, brothers and sisters, the Christian is more but not less than a follower of Jesus Christ, the light of the world. The true Christian doesn't just pray a prayer once and then just live however he pleases. The true Christian is not someone who simply gives lip service to Jesus Christ. The true Christian is the one who follows Christ. Imagine the people of Israel in the wilderness. This light ruled when and where they went. They staked their lives, their futures on this light. They lived in consciousness to this light. This light was their reference point. This light was where they fixed their eyes. And in the same way, the true Christian is the one who follows Christ. The true Christian is not autonomous. The true Christian doesn't plot his own course. His feelings, his opinions don't dictate what is true or false. They're not his final authority. Jesus is his reference point. Jesus is his course. Regardless of the terrain of the culture, the Christian looks to Christ alone and looks to Christ alone to lead him into the promised land of heaven. And I want to ask you this morning, are you a follower of Christ? I'm not asking you if you profess Christ. I'm asking if you are a follower of Christ. Because unless you are looking to and following him, unless he is your master and your guide, unless you see him as the only one who can lead you from the bondage of your sin and misery to the bliss of the promised land of heaven, unless you follow this light, this Joshua, Yeshua, into the promised land, then you are still in the darkness and you will perish in the wilderness. So, the light is a guide. But also think about the fact that this light expels the darkness. The light expels the darkness. What are God's first spoken words to us in the Bible? Genesis chapter 1, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. You see, God is in the business of expelling darkness with light. And Jesus, who is the light, came into the world to expel darkness. When Jesus shines in the darkness, he succeeds. You remember in John chapter 1 verse 5, the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. Now your translation might say the darkness has not grasped it or apprehended it. But the word there is kataleben, and the idea is the darkness has not conquered the light. It has not overcome the light or overpowered the light or extinguished the light. And wasn't that John Newton's experience? John Newton was a hateful enemy of God. He was blind. He walked in the darkness. But Jesus Christ shone into his life and transformed him. So that he wrote his own epitaph, and it said this: John Newton, clerk, once an infidel and libertine, a servant of slaves in Africa. He was a servant of an African princess. He was worse than a slave in Africa. Was by the rich mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ preserved, speaking no doubt of his multiple near-death experiences with fever and with shipwrecks and storms, preserved, restored, pardoned, and appointed to preach the gospel he had long labored to destroy. And we ask the question this morning, well, how was John Newton transformed? You know, did he just try and up his game? Did he just try to back up his ideas? No. Jesus Christ, the Catalaban lights, the person of Jesus Christ, irresistibly shone into his darkness. I think it was off the coast of Ireland. And the Lord transformed him, gave him a new heart, gave him a hatred for his sin, a sorrow over his rebellion against a holy God. It was then off the coast of Ireland that God caused him to look and flee to Jesus Christ. When he experienced what we call definitive sanctification or positional sanctification, when the back of rebellion against God was broken, God gave him a love, a dependence upon Christ, and his life was transformed. The darkness was expelled. You go into work tomorrow, Lord willing, and your co-worker says to you, what did you do this weekend? And you said, well, we braved the snow and we went to church. I'm a Christian. And he asks you, or she asks you, well, what is a Christian? What will you tell them? Well, I'm a Christian, you know, I just have a certain moral code that's different from the world. Is that your answer? Or I have a different philosophy of life, a different worldview. Or I believe in this mechanism of salvation. I know how to be right and to go to heaven. That's what a Christian is. No. You will say the Christian is someone who was in rebellion against God, but God broken and shattered and smashed the darkness. The Christian is someone who's been given a new heart, who's had his eyes opened. He's been given a spiritual pulse so that he might hate and turn from his sin and flee to Christ. The Christian is someone who is now indwelt by the Holy Spirit and loves and lives for and lives with the triune God. That's what the Christian is. And I ask you this morning, I'm not asking the person next to you, I'm asking you, I'm asking them as well, are you a Christian? And again, I'm not asking if you prayed a prayer once. I'm not asking if you are a church attender. I'm asking you if you have been transformed. That you have experienced the power of Christ, that He has opened your eyes. I'm asking you if you had the experience of the beggar in the next chapter who was blind. But Jesus said to him, I am the light of the world. And then he bent down and he spat on the ground and he took the mud and he rubbed it in his eyes. And his eyes were opened. I'm asking you if you can now see and if you cling to and if you follow Jesus Christ. And you love to please Him, and you love to worship Him, and you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit who bears witness to your spirit that you are a child of God. Someone might ask the question, well, how does Jesus expel the darkness? Explain that to me. How does Jesus expel the darkness? The answer is Jesus came into the world and He lived amidst the darkness. And He was holy, even though He was surrounded by the vile and the ignorant and the worldly. And then He took the darkness to Himself. And He walked in the shadow of the cross, and then He was nailed to the cross, and in the darkness of Calvary, even when this light no longer had the light of the sun shining upon Him, He entered into the darkness of God's condemnation. And then He arose from the dead on the third day, and He ascended, and He sent His Holy Spirit. And then God, who in creating the world said, let there be light, by the power of His Holy Spirit, recreates His people and says to them, let there be light. And if you're a Christian here this morning, you have repented of your rebellion against God. You have turned to Christ. You follow Christ. If you have a heart with a spiritual beat, if you're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone, if you have turned from your sin, if you're following Christ, you're bearing fruit, if you've realized the misery of an existence without God, but now you know Him, it is because by the power of the Holy Spirit, God said, let there be light. And I don't know where you stand with God. Young people here this morning, teenagers, I don't know where you stand before God. But I say to you this morning that if you are in the darkness, if you are in rebellion against God, I say to you, the light of the world has come. I say to you, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that by believing in Him you might have life in His name. He's the light of the world. But He's got to be the light of your world. And if you're here this morning and you're shrouded in the darkness of hard-hearted, self-centered, Christ-rejecting darkness, then may God this morning, by the power of His Holy Spirit, say to you, let there be light. Jesus says to you, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, there are many in this room who can relate to the experience of John Newton, who know what it is to have been lost, blind, to walk in the darkness of our own sin and our own misery and our own rebellion against you. And yet you are merciful. By the power of the Holy Spirit, you said to us, let there be light, and there was light, and you separated the light from the darkness. You made us followers of Christ, bound for the promised land, and Lord, this morning we give you praise. That by your mercy, by your grace, and it was by grace alone, you shone into our darkness. Lord, we pray this morning, those who are still in the darkness, even here this morning, even watching online, oh God, that you would have mercy. And by that same creative power that spoke the world into being, that you would create in them light and life, that they may know you, which is life. That they would have their rebellion against you squashed. That they would walk with you all of their days and know the joy, the ecstasy of your presence forever. We plead with you, asking that you will answer us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.